Hi.
Yeah, we're live, Pepper. That's right. Hey, everybody. It's Anchor Pete, and I'm here with my daughter, Pepper. And we are here once again for another review of an episode of Superman and Lois. We just watched episode 2.
Yeah.
So, Pepper, before we get started, I was going to ask you, did you like episode 1 better, the pilot episode, or this episode better?
Episode 1 better.
Yeah? Why?
Because I thought episode one was good because it was all fresh content, but this it just seems to be getting a little old with how they are like Jordan gets mad, Jonathan gets mad, Superman feels guilty, Lois Lane tries to explain something. It's just getting kind of too repetitive for me, like I said earlier.
Okay, so you're saying that like the characters and the way they act is getting repetitive. It's very similar to the pilot.
Yeah, but I did like the bad guys' content. It's got me wondering what in what weird world would Superman try to destroy the humans?
Well, my child, I'm so glad that you asked, because that's actually what I wanted to talk about right away. And I didn't coach her to do that, by the way. She just did that automatically.
Yeah.
But here's the deal, Pepper, is that kind of in the past decade or so, one of the main ways that people have told Superman stories is to make him evil. Like they like to show evil versions of Superman. There's a video game that we've actually played at pinballs over and over again, right? We've played Injustice, the arcade game.
Oh, yeah, where they fight like Batman and Superman or the superheroes fight.
So in that Injustice game, what happens is the Joker actually kills Lois Lane and Superman's unborn baby.
Oof.
That makes Superman lose his mind, and he kills the Joker, right?
Well, I mean, that's kind of fair.
Yeah, he puts his hand right through him. And then Superman kind of goes on and basically takes over the world and has this sort of authoritarian rule, or this fascist rule over the planet. And you know who's his main opponent when he goes to take over the world?
Lex Luthor?
Lex actually helps him in the Injustice comics. But this guy right here.
Batman?
Yes, Batman is against him in the Injustice
comic. Okay, I'm all for Batman, and I know he's a great fighter, but he's a human.
Yeah, well, we're going off on a tangent about Injustice right now. We're going to get back to Superman and Lois in 1 minute, but in the comic, they do this thing where they're able to take these pills that make them almost as strong as Superman for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's get back to Superman and Lois. So Pepper is talking about the very end of the episode, and so you guys should know that it's going to be Spoiler City, okay? It's not the second city of Krypton, by the way, right? Do you remember the name of that city?
Cryptopolis.
Cryptopolis. Don't you remember Cryptopolis?
No, I don't.
Yes,
remember.
Yes.
But seriously, I'm just saying it's like kind of like Oklahoma with Oklahoma City, except it's worse because they combined it in one word.
No, I think it's almost like if we had a capital city on Earth and we called it Earthopolis. So anyway, let's talk about the episode, okay? Spoiler central.
Yeah. So first spoiler of the day.
Oh boy. Sorry. Okay. Let's tone it down a little bit.
Spoiler of the day is we found out who our villain was, and it's Lex Luthor.
Well, we knew that from the last episode, from the pilot. Yeah, we did.
It's more clarified now.
You're absolutely right. They do go into his backstory. This is a Luthor from a different world. We knew that from the pilot. But this Luthor was actually in the military, and he served with the General Lane of that world.
So does this Luthor have no powers, or has he just got some super special suit?
Yeah, Lex Luthor typically doesn't have powers. So he usually does build a suit for himself or does something to have an edge on Superman. Usually it involves kryptonite, right? And that's what this Lex Luthor's been doing. Well, it's not, though, because it's interesting to have this human person that has such incredible ambition trying to take on this person that is just naturally a god, like Superman, right?
Yeah, that's not exactly a fair world either, because Kal-El or Superman or Carl, whatever you want to
call him. His name's not Carl. No, he's not like
Clark Kent.
There you go, not Carl Kent. Yeah.
Anyways, it doesn't seem fair that he'd have to invent all this stuff, make it all on his own, and Clark Kent just gets to go fly around automatically. All he had to do was make his mom sew a costume for him. I mean,
well, yeah, but you see, I actually think that makes Lex Luthor pretty dynamic. I think it's really interesting that he's this human and he feels like he has to overcompensate to compete with Superman. And it usually makes Lex Luthor hate the idea of aliens. He's always against the idea of aliens because Superman is an alien. He thinks it's unfair. And that's pretty much in all of the modern versions of Lex Luthor, right? Yeah. Did you know that when Lex Luthor first showed up in the comics, do you know why he hated Superman?
Because he killed
No? No, that's in this new version. When Lex Luthor originally showed up, he was a mad scientist, and Superman, when he went to go save the day, he accidentally caused a fire that burned off Lex Luthor's hair. And that's why Lex Luthor hated him in the comics, all the way back in the Golden Age.
Hated him because he burned off his...
He made him bald, yes.
I mean, even I, and I love my hair. Oh my God. Even I...
We're live, everybody.
Even I wouldn't, like, go hunting after Superman.
Yeah.
Also, like, what you were saying earlier, I'm not saying I don't appreciate Lex Luthor. In fact, I admire him for going through all this work just to destroy someone who's ruined him.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes by hair follicles, sometimes because he killed all his friends.
There you go, yeah. So he's pretty determined, and he's pretty ruthless. In this episode, he used up his suit to fight Clark, and Clark just sort of mopped the floor with him. But Luthor did this thing where he made his ship, because he had a special ship too, go to fly at a building in Metropolis, and it was going to explode. And so Clark had to make the decision, do I stop the ship or do I get Luke? Luke.
Carlisle.
But I'm sorry. Somebody, we have some comments here. Yes. So here we go. This is from Kazi. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. He's saying, no, I think the second city is Argo. You are absolutely 100% right that Argo is a city from Krypton. It's in the comics. But in the show, the city that they were talking about was, they called it Kryptonopolis. So yeah, Argo 100% is from the comics though, and from other shows too. Thank you, Kazi. Yeah, and you guys can leave questions in the chat. We will definitely address what you guys are saying. We'd love to hear what you thought about this episode too. So,
I have a quick question for you.
Go ahead.
So, when he blows up his ship has like a little talker Siri thing.
It's Siri thing, yeah, and it has Siri. An Alexa, yeah, an AI.
Yeah,
right?
But so I thought the thing was on a ship, but in the end he ends up talking to the Alexa thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, so why did he like take it off the ship before he blew it up? Or?
Yeah, yeah. When you have advanced technology like that, usually you can like carry it around with you. It, like Iron Man has his own that he called Jarvis, and that became the Vision. Whatever. So, okay, cool. Very good. You know what, Captain RGD? Dude, I think we should talk about your point right here. I prefer the Smallville version of Jor-El. Uh-huh. Okay, so I'm pretty sure the Smallville version of Jor-El was played by a British actor. I think it was either, what's his face? He was James Bond. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the names. Terrence Stamp is in the Smallville version? Oh, wow, that is awesome. Okay. So Terrence Stamp Pepper, he plays General Zod in the old school Superman movies from the like late 70s, early 80s, right? And Terrence Stamp, Captain RGD, is saying played Superman's father, his birth father, Jor-El, right? I don't know who the actor is in this version of Krypton, and I don't know who Jor-El is in this show. I looked it up on IMDb and I couldn't find the actor, but he looks so familiar. I don't know who it was. I think he did a good job.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job, but I'm just saying all the people in Superman are a little intense for me. I don't know. Maybe I just thought they should kind of have fun when they're moving to town, but I guess not.
Yeah, that's comic books in general. That's the way people talk, and especially CW shows. They get real intense. So anyway, but I'm glad you brought that up, Captain RGD, because Jor-El, we learned that Jordan is named after Jor-El, right? Which is cool because Jonathan is named after Superman's human father, Jonathan Kent, and then Jordan is named after Jor-El. That was a nice little touch. And then besides that, Jor-El explains that Jordan's powers aren't sticking around. They're going away. And so he thinks that maybe it was a one-time thing where he had his heat vision. They referred to his heat vision as it was some kind of like weird like puberty term that they used, right? They said it was like ocular ejaculation or something. It was something weird, but I like that touch. And so they were saying that might have been a one-time thing, and his powers are going away. So that sets up a nice conflict for Jordan, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of conflicts for Jordan. I don't know. You were just recently speaking about the dad of the real dad of Superman, like the one that he came from, that came from Kryptonite.
His biological father?
Yeah, his biological father. Yeah. Jor-El. I just think that maybe they'll show him more.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I do have a question. If that's just a hologram of him, how does he still speak new words and see things? Like, did they take pieces of his brain or something and put them in there?
That is a really good question, Pepper. I'm glad you asked that. With comics and science fiction in general, a lot of times they'll make like a computer program based on a person's personality, right? They'll kind of scan them and they'll like record all information about them. And it's like a recording, and the recording kind of knows what the person's going to say. It's almost like a video game or something like that, right? Where it's played out. So it's not really him. It's just like what he would say. So let's talk about the other characters on the show though, right? So the arc with Jordan was basically that his powers aren't necessarily going to stay around. And he started to have that resentment. Like almost like immediately he was like, oh, I don't like you, Dad.
I know. I don't think it's really fair that he takes out all his power things on Superman. Or his dad.
Yeah.
Clark. Yeah, Clark. Let's just call him Clark. Clark. Anyways, I think he blames his father too much for things.
Yeah.
He should try and be more supportive.
Yeah, well, that's kind of something that I talked about in our first episode. I was saying that with CW shows, characters kind of impulsively change how they feel, like just on a dime, right? Where, you know, one minute they're like, oh, we have to be this way, we have to take care of the bad guy this way, and then they just switch their mind. And with this episode, Jordan was all into his dad, he was all into going to the Fortress of Solitude, but the moment he found out his powers are going away, oh boy, he turned on a dime.
Yeah, he turned on his dad.
He turned on his dad. Yeah. So, okay, it's okay. So, the next thing I was going to talk about was Lois Lane. So Lois had a bigger role in this episode. We got to see Morgan Edge, who's the guy that bought the Daily Planet. He's also like retrofitting the mines in Smallville, the coal mines. And so for Morgan Edge, it's clear that he's going to be part of the overarching storyline and that he probably has some kind of sinister plan for the people of Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, Pepper, that in the Superman comics and the cartoon and stuff, there's an editor-in-chief of the Daily Planet. His name is Perry White. And
is he similar?
No. Perry White's this awesome boss that really supports Clark and Lois, and he's been missing from this show. So I don't remember.
You don't think Jerry White's going to show up? Or
Perry White?
Perry.
I don't think so. It's either that he never worked there, or he got fired, or maybe he retired. But yeah, but he would always be supporting Lois. He wouldn't do what they did in this episode. In this episode, Lois went to go get a story printed about Morgan Edge and what he had done to this other community, and he just basically put the kibosh on it, and they rewrote her story. So when they rewrote her story, what did they end up doing? What'd she end up doing?
She quit her job.
Yeah.
And then so she went to some city council meeting to find out some things. I'm sorry, I blanked.
No, it's okay.
After that, she wrote a story about in the newspaper about how she believed what was going on in the.
Yeah. She met this other reporter in Smallville who's a small time reporter who like basically does everything for the Smallville Gazette, right? And she's now going to go work with her, and her first action working with this reporter is to have them print the real story that Lois wrote. So Lois is, as always, just the way she is in the comics, in the cartoons, in the movies. She's just, you know, gonna, you know, shake a few chains or ruffle a few feathers. And so that's just the way that she is. So I think that it's weird to see Lois Lane working for a small town newspaper, but it's a good step in the right direction. She's doing what she's supposed to be doing, right? And so let's talk about Jonathan real quick, okay?
Jonathan, yeah.
So Jonathan, I think he was more likable in this episode. What do you think?
I sort of agree, halfway.
Yeah.
I feel like he stayed the same because in the first episode, I just don't like how they're both getting dramatic now. We only need one dramatic son.
Oh, no, we got two emo kids, right? So Kazi is asking, so what is your overall thoughts on this episode? So you know what? At the end, Kazi, we'll kind of sum up how we felt about it. But right now, we're just going beat by beat for the characters. So, but you can totally tell us what you thought, too. We'll put that in the video, too.
Yeah.
So, so you think that now Jonathan's starting to get real emotional and upset in Smallville?
Yes, I do understand. I think that maybe they should have given it more thought just moving out of their home, thinking about how it would be for their children. They thought that it would be an improvement because they would learn about Superman, but how about the lives they're leaving behind in their home?
Yeah, I
and
totally...
And also, I want to point out, the boy was... Jonathan was really good at
football,
and he just kind of had to leave it all behind. I feel like his parents should have considered his life back in.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Pepper. I totally forgot that he had a girlfriend. I didn't even realize that, and so he left his girlfriend behind. That's really lame. And he was going to be this freshman on the varsity football team, so he's really paying the price. And in this episode, they're showing that, you know, all of a sudden Jordan is getting this favoritism from his father, and it's really making Jonathan. Yeah. And so Jonathan's getting upset. What was really cool about that was the sort of the end beat for his story for this episode was that he had some bonding with Lois. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, Jordan
mother and father, I mean, mother and son, and then father and son.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, I do still think that both sons will have powers eventually by the end of this season. So
both
I think
that sons?
Yeah, both sons. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it is a little rare for him to be on the quarterback, and I sort of agree with you, but I think that one son might get, like, the seeing through things and the laser beam, and one son, I don't know.
They're going to switch their powers up a little bit?
No, like, one son's going to get half of Superman's power, and the other son can, like, fly or something.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Pepper? I'm going to do a little plug for a comic that I didn't write or anything, but I think it deserves to be shouted out because of what you just said. There's this awesome comic, guys. It's called Dynamo 5, and it's about this guy who was like Superman, right? And he dies, but it turns out he had children with a bunch of different ladies, and with all these different children, they all have one of his powers, and they become
a team.
How
old was he when he died?
He's like maybe like in his 50s or something, or yeah. But his kids are like teenagers and adults, and so each one has like one power, like one of those Superman powers. So that kind of reminds me of what you were just saying. But let's see. Let's talk about General Lane, too. Okay. So what do you think about General Lane? You think he's annoying? What do you think?
Oh, are you talking about Lois Lane's dad?
Lois Lane's dad.
Okay. Yeah, I got confused there. I do think he's annoying. I want to point out that if I was Superman, I might, like, laser beam him in the face. Because I would think, I have a life, you know? Like, I think that he was probably happy when Lois Lane married Superman, but not happy for his daughter. Rather happy that he can get help in the military instead of having to do all the work by himself. Make Superman go fight people, and some people can shoot, and they're not really important, though. Superman has to destroy the person overall.
Yeah. Well, I like that he and Lex Luthor in this parallel Earth were part of a team, and they were called the Hell Something. And they even had these, like, dog tags, and they had this evil Superman's symbol for their dog tag. And, you know, we just came and did this episode right after the show ended, so I didn't have a chance to, like, rewind and double check. But I think that maybe this evil Superman that's in this parallel Earth, I think his S shield is, like, inverted. Because that's the way the dog tags were. They were upside down.
It confused me, though, how it said, like, it almost said hell.
It did say hell. That was their platoon, they were called.
Kal-El or something.
Yeah, well, I thought there might have been like some kind of number, because when they turned it upside down, it looked like the numbers 7734. So I was like, oh, is this a code for something? But I think it's just hell.
So it's like some kind of secret message, like he's going to give you hell or something.
Yeah, yeah. So just addressing what you're saying, Pepper, about General Lane, there is always this kind of complex with him, just like Lex Luthor, where he's kind of jealous of Superman, or he feels like Superman should be doing more. He wants to use Superman as a weapon. He's like that in the comics. He's like that in cartoons. In the comics, he's even a bit more like nefarious. He is almost like a villain in the comics. Right now, they're partners. He might become more villainous as the series goes on.
I know, but I just think that he feels concerned for the planet, which I understand.
Yeah.
But, I mean, most people would go to great lengths to make sure their children are happy. So I don't think he's doing any of that for Lois Lane.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the way it is in the comics, too. You know, he doesn't really care about Lois in the comics. He is just obsessed with his job, obsessed with the military. And Lois has a sister in the comics, too, and both of them sort of get overlooked. you know. Yeah. But we'll see what happens with this version of General Light. Hey, so hey, what's up? Good to see you too. So anyway,
the episode was live tonight at 8 or 7.
Yeah, it's on at 8, and so we'll always do our show at 9 o'clock. But let's see.
Is it going to be on any other times?
The Superman show, I think new episodes are going to always be on Tuesday nights at 8. But they do tend to move around CW shows to different nights. So we'll see how this goes.
Okay.
But anyway, there was maybe two other things I want to talk about. So this show, this episode continued to kind of take influences from the Superman movies. When we're in the Fortress of Solitude, that kind of was similar to the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, where, you know, he takes that device. He called it a Sunstone in this episode. It's a crystal, and he put it in this little center console and made the fortress light up. The fortress looked like it did in Superman Returns with Brandon Routh. It looked kind of similar to the fortress with what's his face, Henry Cavill's Superman too. So there's like themes that definitely play into all these different, from the different versions of Superman into this show. When he was fighting Lex Luthor in that suit, the way that they were fighting was very reminiscent of like Man of Steel, when the Henry Cavill Superman is fighting with General Zod, where they'll like punch each other, and when he punches someone, they'll go flying, and they'll go catch up and punch the guy. It's pretty awesome. I know, I might actually like punch my daughter. That'd be bad. I'll get Child Protective Services called on me.
So
she has another point. Here we go.
I always do this. I want to talk and then I forget.
Okay.
But the thing is yeah.
Well, so
I was thinking we could. Can we wrap it up soon?
We gotta wrap it up soon because you have to go to bed.
Yeah.
But just one more thing, okay?
Okay.
So the end sequence here for this episode, when we see this parallel Earth with the evil Superman, is very reminiscent of this Superman scene that is in Batman v Superman, where Batman has this like dream of an alternate Earth, right? Just like this Earth. And Superman is, he's not wearing a black suit in that, but you know, his suit is just dark in those movies to begin with. In this, he was wearing like a black suit, right?
Kal-El?
Yeah.
Kal-El.
In that last scene, that Superman, that evil Superman was wearing a black suit, right?
No, I thought it was the same color.
Just regular color, whatever. So
maybe it was slightly darker.
Yeah.
Shaded, but.
And so in Batman v Superman, there's a scene where he flies down and he's captured Batman's men, and he just starts like zapping them with his heat vision, just kind of real coldly just walking by and just zapping them, right? And that was very reminiscent of the scene that we saw at the end of this episode. So that kind of inspired me. I was thinking that Pepper has never seen Man of Steel. She's never seen Batman v Superman. She's never seen Justice League. And, you know, we do have that new Snyder cut of the Justice League coming out soon. So I'd kind of like to see Pepper's thoughts on that.
Snyder?
It's a long story. Don't worry about
Snyder.
Don't worry. So anyway, listen, kid, do you have any last things to say about the show before we wrap it up?
Yeah, so overall, I thought this show, again, was a little repetitive for y'all who just joined recently. And I thought that it could have used some improving. The soundtrack was good.
Soundtrack was good.
And I think they still did a good job touching on the family moments. But last time I gave it, like, what, a 4.5?
4.5 out of 5 stars?
Yeah, I think I'll give it, like, a 3 or 3.5 this time.
Good, that's a good rating, Pepper.
Because I just feel like they should change it up. They should make at least Lois Lane kind of solve this case, or
okay. Well, so okay, so I'm glad that you brought that up. So just to address Mech Rubon, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name too. I mispronounce all different types of names, so please don't take it personal. I'm pretty bad at it. Just ask Danny from the last cast. But when can we watch episode 2? What time? I'm pretty sure if you just go on your cable provider or even the CW online, you can just watch this episode. It should be available now, or it might be available on demand on your cable channel. And then Adit, I was going to say that you said that basically, oh, I'm sorry, wrong person. Whoops. Adit, you were saying that you thought the episode was fine. Yeah, I think it was fine too. Pepper just mentioned how the first episode was sort of more emotional. It was more about family, right? This episode was more about just moving the plot forward, kind of meeting the story beats. And
I agree. I feel like this episode was setting up for better episodes in the next in this series.
Yeah.
So I think I'm looking for some improvement. I do have one complaint.
Oh boy, here we go.
So in the trailers for the next episode, the one that we watched last Tuesday night, not this one, they showed Jordan getting beaten up on the lockers. And in this episode, they did not show Jordan getting beaten up on the lockers. In fact, he hardly went to school.
Jordan actually didn't go to school at all in this episode.
Well, he did at the very, very end, but they didn't, like, talk or anything.
Oh, Pepper, that might have been, though, that they were showing scenes for the whole season and not just this episode. That might have been what you saw last time. So he still might get beaten up on the lockers. But what I was going to say before was that in the first episode, going along with that really good score that we've been talking about, the really great music, there were these really great emotional beats in the first episode, right? Like we had this montage about Superman's childhood and his just growing up and becoming Superman. And so there were these earned moments where the music was really good and you felt it, right? There wasn't a lot of emotional moments in this episode. It's a lot of just like plot, and that's fine. You need that. It's a whole season of a TV show. But I think that what they might end up doing is they might have these montages at the end of every episode, and it'll feel kind of forced to have these emotional montages at the end of the episode if nothing really significant happened. You know what I'm saying? So let's just do one last question, and then we're going to wrap it up for tonight. Adit asked, what is my thoughts on Zack Snyder saying that DC's animated series didn't even tackle anything adult? So, okay, Adit, what you'll see is that, like, when it comes to that version of Superman, the Zack Snyder version of Superman, I am not really a big fan of that version of the character. I like the version of Superman in the first episode of this show, right, where he is a good person and he, you know, that's what defines him. He's like Captain America, essentially, right, where, like, his morals, that's what makes him who he is, the character that he is. And I think that Henry Cavill is a great actor, and I think that he looks like Superman, and if he was given the right material, he'd be a phenomenal Superman. But I just think that that hasn't happened in those movies. So to just address that point of that the cartoons, like from the, you know, Batman the Animated Series and the Superman Animated Series and Justice League didn't address adult themes, I mean, there's tons and tons of examples from each of those shows, you know, and some of the best versions of those characters are from those animated cartoons, right? From those Timverse, right? The Bruce Timm DC cartoons. Those are some of the best versions of those characters besides the comics. So really good question, Adit. I appreciate you asking it. And I appreciate you guys watching our show. Pepper has a lot of fun doing these. She got real excited to see how many people watched our last episode.
By the way, thanks for all the views, y'all.
Yeah, yeah. It's the most for our channel. So, you know, thank you so much. And if you want to join us here, we're here after we, you know, watch the episode every week. So that's it for today. Thanks for being with us. And we're going to awkwardly say goodbye to you.
Bye.